In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The second day of the month of September, the reading is from the Life and Passion of the Holy Martyr Mammas. The martyr of Christ Mammas was born in Paphlagonia of renowned parents. His father was named Theodotus and his mother Rufina. Both were descended from great patrician families and were eminent and wealthy. Radiant with virtue, they could no longer bear to conceal their faith and love for Christ, so they openly confessed before all their piety, converting many to the Christian faith. Consequently, they were denounced to Alexander, who was at that time the magistrate of the city of Gangra. He had been ordered by the emperor to spread and confirm the worship of the pagan gods, and to torture and to put to death all Christians who disobeyed the imperial decree. Alexander summoned Theodotus before his tribunal, and sought to compel him to sacrifice to the idols, but Theodotus had no desire to hear what Alexander said. Although prepared to torture the insubordinate Christian, Alexander was constrained by Theodotus's great nobility, for it was forbidden to dishonor and torture the descendants of patrician families without an expressed imperial command. For this reason, he sent Theodotus to Caesarea of Cappadocia, to Faustus, a prince exceedingly fervent in his atheistic impiety, and one who showed extreme cruelty towards Christians. When Faustus saw Theodotus, he immediately cast him into prison. The blessed Rufina, although with child, had followed her husband, entering even into prison with him and suffering there for the sake of Christ. Theodotus, perceiving the weakness of his flesh, and reflecting on the cruelty of the tormentor, turned to God in fervent prayer, desiring rather to die than to sin against God and against piety, should he prove unable to bear the severe tortures. He said in his prayer, O Lord God of hosts, the Father of thy beloved Son, Thee do I thank and glorify, for thou hast deemed me worthy to be cast into this prison for the sake of thy name. But I entreat thee, O Lord, receive my soul, as I lie here in these fetters, so that mine enemy may not boast against me, for thou knowest my weakness. Thus did Theodotus pray, and God, who alone has fashioned our hearts and understands all our works, heard the prayer of his faithful servant. Immediately he granted him a blessed repose, and bringing his soul out of prison, he committed it to the radiant mansions of paradise. His wife, the blessed Rufina, who had also endured privation and suffering in the dungeon, was overcome by great sorrow for her husband, and bore a male child prematurely. Gazing upon the child and the corpse of her husband, she cried out to God with lamentation and tears, saying, O God, who didst create man and didst fashion Eve from his rib, permit me also to follow the same path that my husband hath trod, and having loosed me from this fleeting life, receive me into thine eternal habitations. As for the child to which I have given birth, rear him as thou knowest best, and be thou unto him father, mother, and the guardian of his life. God heard the prayer of that honorable and holy woman, and she was freed from the bonds of the flesh. Departing unto eternal freedom, she delivered her soul into the hands of the Lord. But the child, who lay between his reposed parents, remained alive. The Lord, who preserveth the infants, revealed these things to a certain noble and pious woman living in Caesarea, whose name was Ammia. He commanded her through an angel in a vision during the night to petition the prince to give her the bodies of the saints who had reposed in the prison, so that she could bury them with honor, and to permit her to take the child and rear him herself as if he were her own son. She arose and hastened to fulfill the injunction of the Lord, requesting permission to remove the bodies of the reposed prisoners from the prison. God softened the merciless heart of the prince, who consented to the request of that honorable woman. Ammia went into the prison and found both bodies lying together, and between them the child, whose face was radiant and joyous. She took the bodies of the saints and buried them reverently in her garden. The infant she took and came to love as though it were her own son, nurturing him as a Christian, for she was childless and a chaste widow. The child grew, but did not speak until his fifth year, when he said to Amya, who was like a second mother to him, the word Mama, which in Latin means breast or mother. For this reason he received the name Mamas. At that time, the impious Aurelian, who reigned in Rome, sought to compel all, men, women, and little children alike, to worship the demons. He devoted much attention to the young and simple, as he supposed they might easily be enticed toward every evil deed. Moreover, the iniquitous emperor believed that if children became accustomed from their youth to eat the food offered to idols, then in their old age they would be all the more fervent idolaters. Therefore, by various enticements, he sought to lead the young to impiety. Even though many young children and youths were deceived and submitted to the will of the emperor, Mamas's fellow students followed his teaching and acted otherwise. Although of tender years, Mamas was adorned with an unstained life and the wisdom of gray hair such as is more commonly found in old age. And he demonstrated to his fellow students the vanity of the pagan gods, which have neither breath nor the power to move. He taught them to know him, whom he himself knew, the one true God, and to offer him the rational sacrifice of a broken spirit and a humble heart. At that time, the emperor dispatched Democrates to Caesarea to replace Faustus as governor. Democrates was a great zealot of murder upon the Christians. His impious and godless faith, breathing forth persecution and murder upon the Christians, St. Mamas was denounced to him as one who not only refused to worship the pagan gods, but who was also corrupting his fellow students by teaching them the Christian faith. Mamas, now 15 years old, had once again been orphaned by the loss of his second mother, Amya, who, having been translated to the heavenly riches, prepared for those who love God, left great earthly wealth to Mamas, her adopted son and sole heir. When Democritus heard of Mamas, he sent for him. When the saint was brought before him, Democritus inquired whether he were a Christian, and if he had instructed his companions not to submit to the imperial decree. Mamas, though young in years, showed himself to be a perfect man, answering fearlessly and saying, "I count as nothing your gray hairs, for you have turned aside from the right path and wander about in such darkness that you are unable even to look upon the light of truth. Having forsaken the true and living God, you make common cause with demons, worshipping lifeless and dead idols. As for me, I shall never renounce Christ, and I strive to lead to him all whom I am able." Democritus was amazed by Mamas's bold answer, and angrily ordered those standing nearby to take the saint to the temple of Serapis, and there force him to offer sacrifice to the idols. Mamas, fearing the prince's anger, not in the least, calmly said to him, "You have no authority to harm me. I am a patrician, the son of noble senatorial parents." Democritus then inquired of those present concerning Mamas's lineage, and having learned that he was descended from an ancient Roman noble family and reared by Amya, an illustrious and wealthy woman who had made him heir to her numerous possessions, he decided not to deliver him to the torturers. Therefore, Democritus put Mamas in chains and sent him to the emperor Aurelian, who was at that time in the city of Ega, informing him by letter of the circumstances concerning the boy. When the emperor received and read the letter from Democritus, he immediately ordered the youth to be brought before him. He tried by all possible means to incline the saint to accept his own vile faith, now seeking to frighten him with threats, now hoping to deceive him with flattery, promising him gifts and honor, and saying, "If only you will sacrifice to the great Serapis, you will live with us in the palace and will be reared as a royal prince. All will reverence and praise you, and you shall truly be blessed. If, however, you do not obey me, you will perish cruelly." Mammas answered him manfully, saying, "O emperor, may it never come to pass that I should worship the lifeless idols you rever as gods. How foolish you are to worship wood and stone, which have no feeling, rather than the living God. Tempt me no more with cunning words. For thinking to benefit me, you torment me. But when you torment me, you benefit me. If I love them rather than Christ, your gifts and honors would serve as grievous tortures. As for the harsh torments with which you have threatened me for the sake of Christ's name, they will be a great blessing for me, for I regard death for Christ as dearer than all honor and gain." Possessing a valiant heart, Mammas spoke fearlessly before the emperor, for the saint, although but a youth in body, was in respect to his powers of reason a perfect man. And the power of God, which assisted a youth to overcome Goliath, and perfects praise out of the mouths of babes, enlightening a young child so that he might surpass even the aged in understanding, was evident in the young Mammas in every way. The words of the impious emperor could not persuade him, and his enticements were unable to attract him. Nor was Mammas frightened by torments, for he accepted them as joyfully as if they had been great gifts. The enraged persecutor then commanded that Mammas be stretched out on the ground, at once to be beaten mercilessly. But Mammas bore the beating as though the pain were another's. Meanwhile the emperor said to him, "Say only that you will sacrifice to the gods, and immediately you will be freed from your torments." But the saint replied, "Neither with my heart nor with my lips will I renounce my God and King, Jesus Christ. Even though you lay upon me wounds 10,000 times greater than these blows unite me with my beloved Lord. Therefore I wish that the arms that beat me should never grow tired, for the more they scourge me, the more they acquire for me good things from Christ, the ruler of the contest." Seeing that Mammas was in no way afraid of being beaten, Aurelian ordered that his body be burned with candles. The flames of the candles, however, shrank away from the body of the martyr, and would not touch him, but rather flared back into the faces of those who sought to burn him. The tormentor, therefore, became more inflamed with anger, and consumed with wrath than was the martyr, burned by the material fire. The less heed Mammas paid to the fire, the more the tormentor's heart was inflamed. Aurelian then ordered that Mammas be stoned, but because of the saint's love for Christ, the stoning was as pleasant to him as if someone had strewn fragrant flowers upon him. Finally, seeing that he was succeeding in nothing, the emperor condemned the saint to be put to death by being cast into the sea. Fastening a great weight of lead to the saint's neck, the emperor's servants led him to the sea. But the Lord did not abandon his servant, and he gave his angels charge over him. Behold, there appeared along the way an angel of the Lord, radiant as lightning. Seeing the angel, those who were escorting St. Mammas abandoned him and fled. The angel took the martyr, unfastened the lead weight from around his neck, and led him up a high mountain in the wilderness near Caesarea, commanding him to live there. St. Mammas began his life in the wilderness by fasting for 40 days and 40 nights on the mountain. He thus showed himself to be a second Moses, and into his hands was given that which was once delivered to our fathers, the book of the new law. Moreover, that which Moses did not receive was conferred upon Mammas, for Moses received only tablets from on high, while to Mammas both a voice and a staff came down from heaven. When he picked up the staff, Mammas struck the ground as commanded by the voice, even as Moses had once struck the sea. And he immediately received a book of the Gospels, which came forth from the earth. Thus was Mammas seen to be not only a second Moses, but a second Paul as well, proclaiming the Gospel. There in the wilderness he built a little church, in which he prayed and read the Holy Gospel. Instead of people, those who heard his reading were the beasts of the wilderness, for by the command of God all the wild beasts gathered before him, like sheep before a shepherd. And thus rational beings, and like rational beings, they hearkened unto his words and obeyed him. His food was their milk, from which he made cheese, not only for himself, but also for the poor. Whenever he had accumulated a sufficient quantity of cheese, he took it into the city of Caesarea, and distributed it to the needy. Since the saint had become well known in the city, word of him came to Alexander, then the governor of Cappadocia, a different ruler from the Alexander previously mentioned, but likewise a cruel and evil man. Imagining Mammas to be a sorcerer, he sent soldiers on horseback into the wilderness to find him, and to bring him back to him. As the soldiers were searching the wilderness for St. Mammas, he himself came down from the mountain to meet them. He asked them whom they sought, and supposing him to be a shepherd pasturing his sheep on the mountain, they said, "We are looking for Mammas, who lives somewhere here in the wilderness. Do you know where he might be?" Mammas asked them, "Why do you seek him?" They answered, "It has been reported to the governor that he is a sorcerer, and we have been sent to seize him and bring him back to be tortured." Mammas said to them, "I will tell you what is necessary concerning him, my friends. Only first come to my hut, and rest a while from your labors, and strengthen yourselves with food." So the soldiers went with Mammas to his dwelling, and he offered them cheese to eat. As they ate, a doe and wild she-goats came to be milked, as was their custom. And Mammas offered fresh milk to the soldiers. Then as Mammas withdrew to pray, a great many wild beasts began to gather at that place, causing the soldiers to be struck with fear. Throwing down their food, they hurried to where the saint was praying. He told them not to be afraid, and that he himself was Mammas, the one whom they were seeking. They said to him, "If you wish to go to the prince, then come with us, but if not, permit us to depart ourselves, for we dare not take you against your will. We only beg you to ensure that the wild animals do not harm us." Mammas reassured them and told them to depart, saying, "Go on ahead, and I shall follow behind." And so the soldiers returned to the city, waiting for Mammas at the gates, for they could not help believing the words of such a man, nor could they think any ill of him. Mammas, taking a lion with him, followed them to the city. The lion was left outside the city gates when the soldiers took Mammas and led them before the governor Alexander. The governor immediately began questioning the saint, asking, "Are you that notorious sorcerer of whom I have heard?" The saint answered, "I am the servant of Jesus Christ, who grants salvation to all who believe in him and do his will. As for sorcerers, magicians, and those who worship idols, he delivers them to the eternal fire. But tell me, why have you summoned me?" The governor said, "I have ordered you here because I do not know by what sorcery and magic you have tamed wild and fierce beasts, so that you can live with them and, as I have heard, order them about as though they were rational beings." St. Mammas replied, "Whoever serves the one true and living God cannot endure, even for a short time, the presence of idol worshippers and evildoers. So I have chosen rather to live with beasts in the wilderness than with you in the habitations of sinners. It is not because of sorcery, as you imagine, that the beasts are made subject to me, but because they know to fear God and reverence his servants. You, however, are more mindless than beasts by far, for you do not know the true God, and you dishonor his servants, mercilessly torturing and killing them." The enraged governor immediately ordered that the holy martyr be hung up and beaten, and his body raked with iron claws. Mammas, although severely wounded, nevertheless endured with such courage that it seemed as though he felt no pain. He neither cried out nor groaned, but only raised his eyes with compunction to heaven, whence he awaited the help that was not long in coming. Suddenly a voice from heaven was heard to say, "Mammas, be strengthened and take courage." Mammas was greatly heartened by that voice and thought nothing of the tortures. After raking him for a long time, they loaded the saint with chains and cast him in prison. Meanwhile, a fiery furnace was being prepared, in which the governor intended to burn him. There were 40 other prisoners in that dungeon, and the saint prayed for them, for they were weakened by hunger and thirst. And behold, a dove flew into the prison, through the window, carrying food in her beak, that had the appearance of a bright pearl, and tasted sweeter than honey. Having placed the food before St. Mamas, the dove flew away. As for the food, it was multiplied for all the prisoners, as once the loaves, few in number, were multiplied for the crowds in the wilderness. After the prisoners had eaten, they were greatly strengthened. At midnight the saint prayed once again, and the doors of the dungeon were opened, so that all the prisoners could depart. Only St. Mamas himself remained. When the furnace blazed with an intense heat, the martyr was brought from the prison and cast into that fiery oven. God, who had once bedewed the furnace in Babylon for the three youths, did likewise for Mamas, sending him a cool breeze amidst the burning flames. The martyr, singing and glorifying God, remained in the furnace for 3 days until the flames were altogether extinguished and the fiery coals reduced to ashes. The governor, amazed at seeing Mamas still alive in the furnace after 3 days, said, "So great is this wizard that even fire is not able to burn him." Many of the people, seeing that the fire neither touched the saint at all, nor did him any harm, came to know the true God, ascribing to him alone this great marvel and glorifying his power. But the mindless governor did not wish to know the all-powerful God, and thus, when he brought the martyr out of the furnace and saw that he was unharmed by the fire, he imputed this miracle to sorcery and blasphemed much against the truth. Moreover, he ordered Mamas to be fed to wild beasts. Thus, having led the saint into the arena, they loosed a hungry she-bear upon him. When the bear approached the saint, however, it fell down before him and clasped his feet. Then a leopard was released, but it merely embraced Mamas's neck, licking the sweat off his brow. As this was taking place, the lion which had accompanied the saint from the wilderness appeared. It sprang into the arena and spoke to the saint, for God, revealing his all-powerful might, opened the mouth of the beast, as once he had opened the mouth of Balaam's ass. The words spoken by the beast were these: "You are my shepherd, who tended me on the mountain." Having said these words, the lion leaped upon the people, of whom then were there a great multitude, pagans, Jews, and children beyond number. By the will of God, the gates of the arena were locked, and the lion destroyed a great number of people. The governor himself was scarcely able to flee, and few who remained within the wall of the arena succeeded in escaping the wrath of the lion. Finally, the saint calmed the lion and sent it back into the wilderness. The governor again took the saint, bound him in chains, and returned him to the arena, releasing upon him his own most fierce lion. But this lion likewise became meek, and it lay down at the martyr's feet. At the sight, the crowds of pagans gnashed their teeth from anger and cried out to the governor, "Lead away the lion so that we can stone the sorcerer." And they began to hurl stones at the martyr. A certain priest of the idols, at the persecutor's command, struck the belly of the saint with a three-pronged spear, running him through, and his bowels spilled out into the ground. Mamas, taking up his entrails into his own hands, left the city carrying them. His blood, which poured forth like water, was collected in a vessel by a certain woman from among the faithful. Having gone about 400 yards, the saint found a cave in a cliff and lay down there. A voice from heaven called out to him, summoning him to that which is above, and with joy he surrendered his spirit into the hands of the Lord, for whom he had so valiantly suffered. In this way, St. Mamas received the crown of martyrdom. His holy relics were buried by the faithful at the place where he had been martyred. It is clear from the testimony of St. Basil the Great that numerous miracles took place there, for in his homily to the people on the day of the commemoration of the holy martyr Mamas, the saint wrote, Keep the holy martyr in remembrance, you who have beheld him in a vision, you who have gathered together in this place, having him as your helper, you who have called on his name and have been granted success in your undertakings, you who were once in error and have been guided by him into life, you who have been healed of your infirmities, you whose children, though dead, have been returned to life, you whose lives have been prolonged, let all of us who have assembled here send up praise to the martyr. It is clear from these words of St. Basil that many healings and miracles were worked at the grave of the holy martyr Mammas. Nor should silence be kept concerning the following miracle. When Julian the Apostate was still a youth, desiring to make a show of piety, although he was already a wolf in sheep's clothing, he began to build, at great expense, a wondrous church over the grave of the holy martyr Mammas. This he did not out of piety, but hypocritically and out of vanity, and consequently a great marvel was seen, for that which was built by day fell down at night. The pillars that had been erected fell into heaps of rubble, and the stones from the wall could not be made to fit back correctly. Others became so hard that they could not be hewn, and still others crumbled into dust. Each morning, the mortar and bricks were found blown down from their places, as if scattered by the wind. All these signs occurred as a reproof of Julian's impiety, and as an indication of the persecution of the Church of God, which was to come at his hands. Such was the miracle performed over the grave of the saint, for he did not wish a church to be built and dedicated to him by one who was soon to raise up persecution against piety. By the prayers, O Lord, of thy holy martyr Mammas, work for us a sign unto good, and deliver us from them that persecute us. Amen.